So how shall we keep the feast? We anticipate two great Christian feasts this coming week, and both of them are present to us this afternoon. Tomorrow is All Hallows' Eve, Halloween, Reformation Day. On that day, we here will recall that exactly 499 years ago, Martin Luther made 95 theses against the misuse of indulgences available for theological debate. Perhaps by posting the theses on what served as a sort of university bulletin board, the door of All Saints Church, the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, but especially, and this we know for sure, by enclosing a copy of the theses with a letter he sent that day, that very day, to Archbishop Albrecht of Mainz, the young primate of the Roman Catholic Church in the Germanic lands. We have conventionally considered that the Reformation of the 16th century, the Reformation that both renewed the Church's life in the Gospel of Jesus Christ, what the theses call the true treasure of the church, and also tragically divided Western Christendom, began with these theses, and with the fierce discussion they occasioned about the ways the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed and mediated in the church's life. Thus, tomorrow marks the beginning of our observance of the 500th year of the Reformation. Our joy in its stunning gifts, our sorrow at its losses, our repentance at acting like we ourselves alone have embodied its truths, and our hope for its future, the future of the Reformation, in a renewed and shared Christian witness that moves beyond conflict to communion in the gospel. So, I hope you join me in saying that we will be gratefully watching as Lutherans gather in Sweden tomorrow morning, together with the Bishop of Rome and other Roman Catholics, to mark the beginning of the common commemoration of this year. And we will try to keep the year ourselves. And then, on Tuesday, we will observe All Saints' Day, All Hallows' Day, a festival which invites us to remember and give thanks for all those who have died in Christ, especially those unknown to us, the little ones of the ages, the simple Christians, who have, in a multitude of diverse ways, and sometimes through profound persecution, given witness to God's life-giving mercy in the world. Since the 8th century in the Western churches, this feast has been kept on November 1st, originally in order to speak graciously to people who feared the autumnal nearness of the dead, even the nearby hunger of the dead, as that nearness and hunger were marked in the widespread Celtic observance of Samhain, the feast on November the 1st that most Europeans knew in the early part of the Middle Ages. A hunger and fear, by the way, from which our modern day trick-or-treating derives, but which it only very dimly evokes. All Saints means to evoke, invite those who fear the dead, rather to take joy and comfort in the witness that the dead in Christ have given in their lives to God's all-sustaining mercy. While the merits of these saints were sometimes taken to be the source of a treasure which the church could use to set aside the punishment of our sins, thus, by the way, indulgences, thus Luther's protest on the eve of this very day, a modern evangelical version of the feast knows that also for those saints, and according to their own witness, The true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God, as Luther's theses say, and not the saints' supposed merits. So, how shall we keep the feast? How shall we keep Reformation Day and All Saints, All Hallows Eve and All Hallows Day this year? I want to say that the texts that we have just read tonight give us significant help. The first reading is, in fact, a text for Reformation. It attacks transactional religion. You know, oh God, I will give you offerings and festivals, prayers and praises, in return for you giving me, tit for tat, some nice prosperity, just for me and my own kind. And Isaiah fiercely criticizes religious piety that does not turn toward the needs of the poor. In these ways, Isaiah sounds rather like the 95 Theses. Here, by the way, maybe to your surprise, are two of those theses. Quotes from Luther. Christians are to be taught that the one who gives to a poor person or lends to the needy does a better deed than if a person acquires indulgences. And Christians are to be taught that anyone who sees a destitute person and while passing by such a person gives money for indulgences does not buy gracious indulgence from the Pope, but rather buys God's wrath. When we hear both Isaiah and the theses, I think, however, we ought not easily decide that we are not addressed. This wrath of God is also for us, dear friends. We may not purchase indulgences, time off from purgatory, say, or a milder form of penance for our sins, but we do engage all too often in transactional religion. We make offerings thinking God then owes us something. We stretch out our hands in prayer, expecting them to be filled with blessings, even though our hands too, when we think of it, are full of blood. We try to convince ourselves that we are quite good, and on that basis we try to negotiate with God. Dear friends, we may best observe Reformation Day this year by knowing ourselves among such religious-seeming, religious-pretending sinners, not by boasting of our excellence. But there is still a bath in which we can be washed. It is called Holy Baptism, and its daily remembrance can ground our days. And the amazing argument to which God invites us, according to Isaiah, let us argue it out, says the Lord, is this: out of God's abundant mercy, because of Jesus Christ and in him and for no other cause, we are forgiven. Our scarlet sins made like snow. Dear friends, you are utterly forgiven. There is God's reasoning with us. There is the gospel that gives renewed center and renewed hope to many churches today, including, by the way, including anew the Roman Catholic Church in this year of mercy proclaimed by Pope Francis. Then, because of that gospel of Jesus Christ, freely, not to earn anything, but only to celebrate God's astonishing mercy, we may turn to the needs of our neighbor. As the theses say, let our ceremonies surround this gospel. Thus Luther in Thesis 55, this great quote, If indulgences, which are a completely insignificant thing, are celebrated with one bell, one procession, and one ceremony, then the gospel, which is the greatest thing of all, should be preached with 100 bells, 100 processions, and 100 ceremonies. That proclaiming and signing the gospel, that surrounding it with bells and ceremonies, is what our liturgies are for. Not surrounding our transaction religion with ceremonies, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here now, through the kindness of the Episcopal Church, let the strongest ceremonial space of our city, this magnificent cathedral, be seen to be celebrating that gospel. Then, because of faith in the gospel, let sacrifices, transactional religion, bribing God, thinking that we are owed something by God, let it utterly cease. Let us admonish each other in all the Christian churches, all of them, ourselves included, to be done with transactional religion. And let faith, trust in the mercy of God, show itself by turning instead in works of justice toward our neighbors. Such is true religion, the gospel, the true treasure of the church. Such is the celebration of the Reformation. And Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians can help us celebrate All Saints' Day. With Paul, we may give thanks to God for the faith and love of the old Christians of Thessalonica, and then also of all the saints since then, begging God that with them, according to God's forgiving mercy, our lives too may be formed by the Spirit to bear witness to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in our time. We may celebrate All Saints' Day by, with the saints and because of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus, letting go of the fear of death. Fear. Fear of the dead in the night. Fear of our own death. Fear of the other. Fear of the refugees. Fear of change. Fear of the city. Fear of the countryside. Fear of what others may do to us. Fear is the great enemy of love. And it has been far too much around these days, hovering just behind the anger that has marked our current political discourse. Rather, we will gratefully remember the dead, and we will beg God to show us how to act with them out of faith in Christ and out of love for our neighbor. How to act in our daily life, how to act in communion with other Christians who are not like us, how to act also in our political choices in this autumnal time, in ways that are not driven by fear, but by trust in God and love for one another. Such is a celebration of All Saints' Day. But for both feasts, for this evening, I think the deepest help is in the Lucan story of Zacchaeus. Some of us have read this story in our congregations this morning. In any case, we have read it again here, together with many other lectionary churches, including the Roman Catholic Church, where this story is the appointed gospel for this Sunday in year C. We do well to hear it together. In Zacchaeus, Luke gives us the image of a serious sinner, a genuine bad guy, one whose hands, as Isaiah says, are full of blood, a collaborator with the oppressor who has used the oppression to hurt the poor and line his own pockets. Zacchaeus is not a cute little man. This is a bad man who is somehow drawn to see the Lord. Only now, God's argument arrives under his tree. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay in your house today. Your sins, though scarlet, shall be as snow. This invitation comes at the end of the 10-chapter-long, unique Lucan travel narrative. I urge you to read it sometimes, maybe even in this next week. It is the story of Jesus going to Jerusalem, a story filled with Jesus at meals from Luke 9 to Luke 19, and Jesus telling meal stories. Here is yet another meal. Now, as it were gathering up all those meals, the feast with the returned prodigal, the celebration after the coin and the sheep are found, the wine and the oil from the Samaritan for the wounded traveler, and the meals at the inn the Samaritan provides, the great banquet with those of the highways and byways brought in, and the slaves served by their master, those meals, all of them, now come here to Zacchaeus for him. In receiving Jesus, he receives Jesus to his table, and Jesus becomes the life-giving host. Then out of that astonishing grace, and not at all as if in transactional religion, Zacchaeus responds. With fear gone and faith at work, according to the story, Zacchaeus gives away his goods to those in need. Faith is active in love. Justice begins to be done. Salvation itself looks like this. This meal of mercy, and this astonishing new economy. In Luke, however, the journey goes on. This meal with Zacchaeus ends the travel narrative and bridges it to two further meals: the Last Supper, where Jesus is about to be killed, and he makes the meal to be the gift of himself, and the meal at Emmaus, where the risen one is known in Scripture, interpreted in the broken bread. In Luke, the grumbling about the one who welcomes sinners and eats with them leads at last to his death. And his death and resurrection bring him, oh, bring him, dear friends, underneath our tree. Come down, he says to us all together. I will stay with you today. There is how to keep the feast. Find that God is staying with us and giving us this meal, not because of our negotiations and transactions, but against them. The gospel is in this meal, and the Reformation has made this meal to be at the heart of our life. Come down and find that merciful God again and again in your congregations, at the Holy Supper, and come as Zacchaeus, as sinners, as beggars, with all the saints. Let God in Christ through baptism make the boundaries of that meal as large as possible, including the hope that soon Lutheran sinners and Roman Catholic sinners will be able to eat and drink of it together. Know that in it, Christ gives to you himself, the true treasure of the church and the true treasure of all the saints. And then in Christ, with Zacchaeus and all the saints, let go of fear and turn toward your neighbor with salvation's new economy. That is how to keep the feast. God grant us such a celebration. Amen.